This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 a.m. on Tuesday, the 20th of September. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning. In the meantime, though, we are turning our attention to what's happening over in Indonesia. Because just like us, Indonesia is also facing a ballooning fuel subsidy bill as a result of the soaring price of crude oil. Unlike us, however, Indonesian leaders have bit the bullet and slashed fuel subsidies by as much as 30% to keep the national budget in check. The move is unsurprisingly deeply unpopular among Indonesians, and daily protests have taken place in cities across the country since the decision was announced earlier this month.
But President Jokowi Widodo may feel that he has nothing to lose, given that he is ineligible to run for a third term in the presidential elections, which is slated for 2024. But does he have a plan B? Because last week, Bloomberg reported the possibility that Jokowi may be considering running for the vice president post instead.
In addition to election rumors, Indonesia is also being closely watched as the host of the G20 this year, with all eyes on what happens during the summit in Bali when leaders from all sides of the war in Ukraine get together in November. How is President Jokowi navigating all these political, economic, and diplomatic challenges? For some perspectives from the ground, we speak to Resti Woro-Yuniar, Jakarta-based correspondent with the South China Morning Post. Resti, good morning. Thank you very much for joining us. Now, earlier this month, President Joko Widodo cut fuel subsidies, leading to the price of certain fuels to increase by 30%. Why was this decision taken now?
I think the president has said that the allocation for fuel subsidies, which is some $34 billion, has been too much of a burden to the state budget, because this is like an increase from last year's 170 trillion rupiah fuel subsidy. And of course, like with the war in Ukraine, like the price of global crude oil also has increased. So the government think that like this year is the right time to actually cut the fuel subsidy, because President Widodo also has said that this is such a heavy task that the government cannot go on like this.
Resti, how was this policy communicated to the public? I mean, was there enough time for people to digest the news before the policy became action?
In the lead up to the increase, Jakarta officials have repeatedly said that the government cannot maintain such a huge amount of fuel subsidy. But of course, the increase, which came like 2 weeks ago, like it came by surprise. People were still caught off guard, even though like some labor union have threatened to take to the street to protest if the government actually increased the price of fuel. But the government still took the decision. So yeah, everybody was basically saying that they were not given enough time to actually prepare for the increase in price fuel.
What are the main implications of the rise in fuel prices, and what is the government doing to cushion the impact on those who are most affected?
So Jakarta has allocated some 24 trillion rupiah in cash handout for the poor. Those are the handouts that were given because of this price fuel hike. And then after that, then the government is also trying to limit the consumption of subsidized fuel by actually requiring the recipients to download an app run by the state oil company, so that the government can determine if they are eligible to actually use this subsidies fuel, because the problem all this time has been that the subsidies fuel is enjoyed by the richest and not those who are actually eligible to enjoy the subsidies fuel. So that's also like one of the biggest challenges that the government must solve now.
Now, notwithstanding the controversial rise in fuel prices, the government has, of course, taken action in the past year to keep the prices of palm oil and coal down. Do you think this has helped shore confidence in the Jokowi administration's economic policies?
Actually, there's a survey that was just released in the weekend that Jokowi's approval rating tanked by 10%. Few days after the price fuel hike. So that actually shows that the public is not satisfied with the way the government actually increased the price of fuel. But this is also one of the challenges that Jakarta has, how to actually maintain the voter satisfaction, but also to have like a healthy budget. These are not easy when everything, the inflation is also on the rise, and also like the prices of basic goods such as cooking oil and wheat, of course, and rice and everything else were also like on the rise due to the price fuel hike.
Looking at the political side of things, we've heard rumors, we've seen reports that Jokowi may attempt to run for the post of vice president in the 2024 elections, given that he can't run for president anymore. How likely is this?
I think it is very unlikely because some analysts have said that in Indonesia, like if you want to be a vice president, then you must be eligible to be president in case something happens to the president, or, you know, for example, if the president goes overseas for state visits, or if the president is impeached, then the vice president must be eligible to replace the president. But Jokowi had already served 2 terms, so it's not permissible for him to be a vice president. And Jokowi also, as always, commenting on the issue, like he only said, where is this issue coming from, instead of denying or confirming it. So if Jokowi Dodo were to actually make a concerted effort to run for vice president, Indonesia would likely go towards a constitutional crisis, because the voters have also shown their disapproval when there was an idea a few months ago that Jokowi wanted to run for the 3rd time as a president.
So what are the signals coming from the political parties in terms of who will be running to replace Jokowi as president then?
So the current Minister of Defense, Prabowo Subianto, which is Jokowi's 2-time rivals in the elections, have said that he will run again in 2024. And there's like, so all this speculation that Prabowo will team up with Puan Maharani, which is currently the Speaker of the House of Representatives, and also daughter of Megawati Sukarnoputri, which is the chairman of the ruling party PDIP. But there's also like another candidate who has been favored by the pollsters and voters in the past months, which is Central Java Governor Ganjar Pranowo, also came from the ruling party PDIP. And some analysts have said that President Jokowi is likely to be on Ganjar Pranowo's camp instead of Puan Maharani's camp. So those two are the leading candidates now. But also we have former Jakarta governor Anies Baswedan, who has also been favored by some voters due to his ability to actually take the pandemic under control in Jakarta, which is the epicenter of the pandemic. And Anies Baswedan is an independent candidate, so he is not aligned with any political parties yet. That's why it will be interesting to see whether Anies Baswedan will choose to join a ruling party or opposition party, because that will make the contestation interesting, because we will see a PDIP party and the coalition, whether they will actually stay together after Jokowi no longer be president, or they will actually go their own way.
Meanwhile, Indonesia is set to host the G20 summit this November, with potentially the leaders of both Russia and Ukraine in attendance. What are the diplomatic pitfalls that the Indonesia government need to navigate?
So Indonesia has repeatedly said that it will stand by its position to include all members to the forum's activities, including by inviting Russian President Vladimir Putin to the summit in Bali, despite calls by Western leaders not to do so. So Indonesia is obviously walking on eggshells, because it doesn't want to be seen as aligned with the West or Russia or China. It wants to stay neutral. But the G20 summit will likely be an iteration of the G20's first foreign ministers meeting in July, where Russia's foreign minister Sergei Lavrov left the meeting early due to what he called aggression or insults from G7 member countries. And that was not the first time that delegation from G7 members walked out during meetings attended by Russians. So as for Jokowi, like I think for him, it will be a huge achievement and a far more important one to ensure that all leaders of G20 nations sit together in one room in Bali in November, because that will boost his popularity among domestic voters and ensures his legacy as a president, because no other presidents had achieved this feat. So, you know, Jokowi is not very keen on foreign policy or international events because he will skip the UN General Assembly this month. So ensuring his legacy among domestic voters will be the most important thing. And that will be to be a statesman and to gather all these world leaders under the same room in Bali in November.
Resty, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Resty Worojunior, Jakarta-based correspondent with the South China Morning Post, weighing in on some of the domestic and international challenges that Jokowi will be facing in the remainder of the year, highlighting that she doesn't think that he'll be running for vice president. It's constitutionally not possible, but I suppose rumors will still abound for as long as we run up to the 2024 elections.
Yeah, and whoever does become president is going to inherit a country pretty much on a strong footing. Because if you look at the economy, right, for 2023, they're still expecting GDP growth of 5%. Bear in mind, it's one of the only markets in the world which is still in positive territory on a year-to-date basis, reflecting the confidence people have in domestic consumption, the fact that it's definitely a beneficiary in terms of commodity prices. So it's sweet spot Indonesia is in, despite the fact that recently they've had to actually raise oil prices. But actually, if you think about it from an economic perspective, they're taking the bitter medicine that they have to take now.
Indeed.
Rather than kicking the can down the road.
Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.